It is such a great privilege to be with you today and to serve here at the Brook Hills Church with my dear friend Matt. This is the first time we have actually met and hung out, and I am very grateful to the Lord. Thank you for inviting me here. I feel so honored. This is ridiculous. If you've never sat in the front row, you got to do that sometime, because this wave of worship is coming at the back of your head. It is so uplifting. Amen. Way to go, guys. You're praising God with all your might. We at Emmanuel Nashville hear of how God is at work in this ministry through Pastor Matt and this church. We hear of the work you're doing. We love you. We admire you. We respect you. Just keep going. Now let's open up the scripture to 1 John chapter 1, John's first letter, chapter 1. You know, I think that when I was so thankful for our band, and when we're giving ourselves to the Lord in worship, and He is smiling upon us through the cross and giving His Spirit, it's as if the distance between earth and heaven gets thin, and we're in the presence of the Lord, and there's nothing greater. What a joy. 1 John chapter 1, please follow as I read. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. This is God's word. Now, the Apostle John is describing the one and only completely unique and original event in all the length of human history. In His love for the undeserving, His grace for the unworthy, the eternal God above entered into time. The invisible spiritual God became touchable. The happy God above came down and made sad people happy about their lives again by making them happy about Him. That happened in this world 2,000 years ago when Jesus came. The impact continues, and that is the new redefinition of the whole future. No power on earth can stop this. Now, that's what John is talking about in verses 1 through 4. He's talking about, you see the word fellowship two times in verse 3. He's talking about a new fellowship, a new community, a new kind of community that this world cannot create. Community, the insiders of community in this world are defined by power and swagger. The insiders in this new community, this new kind of fellowship, are defined by openness and honesty. Only God can create that kind of community and keep it sustainable and inevitable and successful and eternal in this world. That is what God did through Jesus 2,000 years ago. It is continuing today. We have been caught up in this. Now, John is writing toward the end of the first century AD. He's into the second generation of the early church. And as he writes this, one of the reasons why he writes it is he's worried. He's worried because he can see that what Jesus began, that new pristine environment where human beings can flourish, it's already being polluted. It's being troubled by bad theology. It's being troubled by heresy. Sidebar, what is heresy? Heresy is worse than bad thinking. Heresy is thinking so bad, doctrine so bad, the filter through which we look at God, the way we perceive Him, it is so bad, so distorted, it will rob us of God. So, you might be a Baptist, a Presbyterian, an Anglican, a Lutheran, and so forth, and maybe your theology isn't perfect, but you can know God as a Baptist and a Presbyterian and an Anglican and a Lutheran and so forth. You can know God that way. But what John is concerned about here is theology and understanding and ways of seeing God so off the mark, so wrong, that this will actually become a barrier between ourselves and God. I mean, even if heresy is so serious that even if you're sincere and you believe it, you will still not be able to connect with God. So biblical faith is a wide open ocean to swim in. There's lots of room for personal judgment calls and denominational nuances and so forth, but there are boundaries. And we can't always say, you say tomato, I say tomato. The Apostle John is looking now at the boundaries, redefining the boundaries. He's concerned about heresy. That's in verses 5 through 10. And we can surmise what the problem is in verses 5 through 10. We can piece it together. It's the idea that I can become a Christian and I don't need to change. I can say I love Jesus, but also allow myself to continue in patterns of sin that I regard as no big deal, and I take the view that nobody should really have a problem with that. Look at verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him, with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So the heresy is practical in nature. It's not theoretical. It's about how we walk. It's about how we live. It's a practical denial of who God actually is. And it doesn't get any more basic than who God really is. So how does John respond? Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him, from Christ. The we there in those first five verses are the eyewitnesses of Jesus, the apostles, those who actually knew Him firsthand. This is the message we have heard from Christ and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now that's amazing. John spent 3 years with Jesus. He heard Jesus preach hundreds of times. He had personal conversations with Jesus. He saw other people interacting with Jesus. He takes all of that teaching and sums it up, 3 years of teaching from Jesus. Here is the message of Jesus to the human race. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Guys, it's only 47 characters. It's not even a complete tweet. So what did Jesus mean by that? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Well, what is light? Light is many things. Light is beautiful and pure and true and life-giving and clear and welcome and cheerful and necessary to life and flourishing. There's no such thing as dirty light. There's no such thing as dishonest light. There's no such thing as ugly light or prejudiced light. Light can only be what it is. Light cannot be non-light. And light, what it is, in its essence, is desirable and glorious in every way. And the best part of all, light spreads. We walk into a darkened room, flip on the light switch, and the darkness is completely helpless. It just hightails it in front of the light. And God is like that. God is light in all these ways, plus more. Jesus came down from heaven to tell us that. Here's what you got to know about ultimate reality. There is this super person out there. He's glorious, and there is nothing about him you need to worry about. The whole Bible tells us this. The first page of the Bible, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Bible says at a personal level, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Bible prophesies at a worldwide level, our Messiah will be a light to the nations. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He did not say, "I am a light in the world." He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Bible says of us, this is so honest, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. We all understand that. We all have memories of, we shock ourselves with what we're capable of. We have regrets. Things we've done we know are wrong, and we keep them hidden away in the shadows. They're so threatening. And we don't even hide them in privacy. We hide them in denial. And that very human impulse to hide, to withdraw, to conceal, to keep a low profile, that fear of exposure, the fear of being known. We've been this way since the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, after they'd sinned, they hid from God in among the trees of the garden. And that feeling that's in us all, guys, that is the beginning of this heresy. And that's why 1 John chapter 1 is relevant today. God hasn't changed. We are in need. We haven't changed. We want the light. We fear the light. Light can be threatening to sinners, and in our fear we can hide, we can pose, we can pretend, keep up an appearance that isn't real, and we might fear deep, deep down inside, not just that the people around us might not understand, we might deeply feel fear. God must despise me. God must be so done with me. God won't help me. In fact, maybe God can't help me. And that's why this heresy is never far away. In fact, wouldn't you agree? I mean, we're always one generation away from losing the gospel. That's why it's so crucial. Pass on the gospel to the next. Give them those Bibles. Teach them the Bible stories. Tell them about Jesus. Invest in them. Invest more. Keep going. Because it's not in our DNA, is it? We need the Holy Spirit to put this within us by miracle. So Jesus came to say, you can open, let your heart crack open to all that God is. You know by now something of who you are. I know something of who I am. Our hearts this morning can crack open to the light of God in whom there is no darkness at all. We can welcome him. Here's what this is saying. We can welcome the all-holy God above with zero caution. And there's no darkness in him. There's no bitter aftertaste. There's no downside. There's no fine print we have to be concerned about. We can open up to him today, and all we stand to lose is our darkness. And that wonderful assurance that Jesus brought, seen supremely in his cross, that openness to God for who he is. Guys, that is Christianity. That openness, that honesty, looking at who he is as Jesus revealed him, recorded in Scripture, and sharing that together as a new kind of community, that is what Jesus came and died and rose again and sent down the Holy Spirit to keep creating in every generation. That is apostolic Christianity in power. What a wonderful invitation that is to come walk in the light together where God is. He's inviting us into a new spiritual adventure. As a community of grace, he's opening a door for us all together to go further with him than we've ever gone before, to go further with him than we've ever dreamed of going, and finding there, in the light of who God really is, not shame, not embarrassment, but liberation and joy and renewal and cleansing. Walking in the light together with brothers and sisters in the Lord, we find fellowship, we find cleansing by the powerful blood of Jesus. We get traction for positive change that right now we might not even believe is possible. It says in the book of Acts, when the gospel went to Samaria, there was much joy in that city. What a great headline for the newspaper of Birmingham. Much joy in this city. For Nashville, too. That's what we long for. It is so happy to get clean again. And not by our own mind games, but God above coming down to us through the blood of Christ. Not us talking ourselves into feeling a little better about ourselves, but God himself bearing witness to our hearts that we belong to him and have been cleansed. It is so freeing and so happy to stop faking it and hiding behind an image, but just come out and be known by God, be known by brothers and sisters, and then grow and never stop growing. That's what Jesus brought to us. There's no heresy there, guys. There's nothing to fear. That's real original power. That is what God detonated in Judea in the first century, and it just spread across the Mediterranean world in one generation. Kaboom. Real original apostolic Christianity is an honest relationship with God and with one another. And our part is so simple. After all Jesus has done, following Scripture, we just come right out into the light because that's where he is, and we stay there as he tenderly and gently deals with us and helps us and serves us and cleanses us. His wonderful work. Jesus, you know, he was so harsh. He was severe. He was unsparing toward the Pharisees. Because they were so self-righteous. But when we see Jesus dealing with sinners, he is always so tender. He is gentle. I'm just thinking of this right now. My son, Dane, wrote a book, Jonathan Edwards, on the Christian life. Jonathan Edwards, 1703-1758, great theologian. And so Dane studied the writings of Jonathan Edwards to get sort of a landscape of the theology of Jonathan Edwards about what it means to be Christians together. And Dane, as he just read through this brilliant man's understanding of the Christian life, he was actually forced to devote an entire chapter to gentleness. What we sang earlier, he's a lion and he's a lamb. when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism, it didn't come down in fire. It was a dove. The most gentle person in the universe is God. That is so startling to us in this world, conditioned as we've been to this world. Jesus is tender with the unworthy. Jesus is gentle with the undeserving. We can come to him. There is no darkness. There's nothing we need to brace ourselves against. Not in him. He knows what we're really thinking and what we're really facing. And every one of us is so freed, so helped, so cleansed to come out into the light and with others talk about what isn't working well in our lives. I remember 1738, John Wesley and the Moravian brother, Peter Bowler, they were developing small groups. And so they drew up some ground rules for their small groups in the young Methodist movement. They were called Methodists because they wanted to be methodical in how they went about pursuing Jesus. And ground rule number 10 was that the leader of the small group, they would go right around the circle, and each one would share the real state of his heart with his several temptations and deliverances since the last time of meeting. No wonder they just blew up. Who couldn't flourish in a gentle, honest environment where we just go around the circle, well, here's how I'm doing, and here's what isn't working, and here's how Jesus is helping me since the last time I saw you. The real state of our hearts. In the presence of Jesus. Oh my goodness, what could be more glorious? Well, let's look at the text. We'll just take it phrase by phrase. But if we walk in the light, stop there. But if we walk in the light, okay, I'm grateful it doesn't say we have to sprint. Who isn't like tired? But we can walk one step at a time. We do need to be in motion. We need to get up, walk out into the light. We need to go there. And wherever you are this morning, the Lord is inviting you to get up and walk toward him into that place of openness and honesty. Now, what then does it mean to walk in the light? Obviously, it doesn't mean to live a sinless life, a perfect life, a life with no problems, because this is where we find cleansing from sin. So it is sinners who walk in the light, people with problems, messy people. So what is this walking in the light? It's when we say, I'm done with trying to be impressive. I'm done with appearing to be better than I really am. And there are going to be people in my life whom I so trust and respect in the Lord that they're going to know what's really going on inside. So I just find it's really wonderful. It's been freeing for me to start on this journey. The best things about this verse, 1 John 1:7, has really made an impact on us at Emmanuel. The best things about Emmanuel Nashville, we did not mastermind. We didn't even foresee them. The kind of, yeah, they're okay kind of things. Those are the things we did. And the green pastures and still waters that we just found ourselves in, and we blinked and looked around, how did we get here? Oh my goodness, this is wonderful. The Lord got us here. This is one. Walking in the light together. When God, the Holy Spirit, convicts your heart of sin, by the way, the difference between the accusation of Satan and the conviction of the Holy Spirit is this. Satan will just dismiss your very worth and existence in a total global way. He will say, you are worthless pond scum. Give up. The Holy Spirit never speaks to our hearts that way. The Holy Spirit says, Ray, that thought just now, that was not pleasing to the Lord. Ray, that word that just came out of your mouth, that was not of me. It's always specific and helpful, opening a door to repentance. So I just give that to the Lord. Lord, I'm so sorry. Just forgive me, cleanse me, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And then when we live that way together, that is apostolic Christianity, continual cleansing, continual refreshment. Sometimes we lie to God. We say, but Lord, this is my personality. We say, yeah, but look what my wife did. We say, wait a minute, you can't literally expect me to obey the Bible. Or we say, I can't change. That's walking in darkness, and it is soul-killing. Paul Tournier, the Swiss psychiatrist, wrote the most fascinating thing. Listen to this. A diffuse and vague guilt feeling kills the personality, whereas the conviction of sin gives life to the personality. It is so freeing to call sin, sin. As God the Holy Spirit shows it to us according to the Word, we no longer need to look better than we really are. What a liberation to just let that go. Because by His cross, Jesus opened the way for us to have an honest and open relationship with the all-holy God above and with one another in fellowship. And that's walking in the light. Next phrase, as He is in the light. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light. So it isn't about rules. It isn't even about accountability, which can be used just to corner people and embarrass people. It's about God. It's about who He is and where He is. It's about how we experience God by stepping out from the shadows of denial and evasion and posing into the light where He is. Reality with God is not hard to find. Some of us this morning have come into church and we love the Lord, but He seems distant and theoretical and unreal. We've lost personal reality with God. There's always a reason. And He's not hard to find. What happens typically is we have withdrawn into the shadows of a kind of misplaced self-protection where we're not owning up. But God is right out there. He is in the light. He's in the place of honesty and openness. He is waiting for us there with open arms. And you know who else is out there? A whole bunch of broken sinners who are just walking in openness and honesty before the Lord. And they're the most tender-hearted people in all the world. What a wonderful place to be. Where God is obvious, where God is real, where fellowship is real, where cleansing is real. We find it when we get real and go to Him. And when we walk in the light as He is in the light, two things happen. One, verse 7 says, we have fellowship with one another. We discover how much we have in common. We're listening to one another, gently walking together in fellowship, walking in the light, and we keep thinking, oh my goodness, you too? It's like when you're having dinner at a friend's house, you know, a nice dinner party, and everything's great. It's just a wonderful event. And then somebody at the dinner table opens up and gets really honest about what's not going well in life. And all of a sudden, you just sense the whole atmosphere changes instantly. And everybody joins in, and it becomes, you go just to a deeper, more wonderful level together. You enter into fellowship, a community of grace. The world isn't like that. The world takes advantage. The world mistreats us. The world is harsh and critical, and we never measure up. But when we come into this fellowship, we are embraced, we are understood. We are listened to, we are prayed for. James 5, 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then it says that kind of praying. Oh, it's powerful. Jesus breaks the cycle of this world's hypercritical fault-finding by his cross, where he took our real guilt upon himself. And in this place of shared forgiveness that we occupy in the light of God now, we find out that we have friends as never before, and the sympathy flows back and forth. You find out, oh my goodness, I finally belong. So that's the first thing. We have fellowship with one another. Second thing that happens, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So this is more than a human support group. The sacred blood of Jesus is there. Power is coming down. Cleansing is coming down from above. And as we bring out into the light, there is no sin which his cleansing blood cannot help us with. Amen. Cleanses us from all sin, all categories. It's not as though that particular sin that you committed, that you never dreamed you would do that, and then you did it. You shocked yourself by a betrayal of your own principles. And what do you do now? I want you to know that that very place of sorrow in your heart is where Jesus loves you the most tenderly. And when our hearts crack open to his grace, his light comes into those deepest, darkest places. And cleansing enters in. And freedom enters in. And healing. We don't have to bear these things anymore. What were those wonderful lyrics we were just singing? There were two lines. The second line was, we can cast all our burdens on. Oh, Jesus, what does it say? Christ has defeated our every sin. Now, I'm a sinful man. What do I do with that? You know what I do? I just believe it, just to tick the devil off. And I just cast that burden on him and sing my head off and share that with you. That's what Jesus creates. Guys, this is Christianity. You don't have to master your sins by iron willpower. You just confess them and confess them and confess them and confess them to death, and that will just take all the oxygen out of them. And Jesus can cleanse away any sin. So there's the glory of God, the light of God, the beauty of God, the life of God coming down into this dying, exhausted, sad, guilty world through Jesus, the apostles bringing that message out, the power of the Holy Spirit attending them. It's touching us in the 21st century. Oh, guys, this is for us. We can have it. Let's go get it. It's right out in the light. The place of honesty and openness where God is. Let's pray. Lord, we give ourselves to you now. We open our hearts to you. Lord, we pour it all out before you, our very worst. And we receive you, O Lord, your very best through Jesus. In his holy name, amen.